Hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to three.
Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Make a look, and you'll see into your imagination. We'll begin with a spin.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Many people grew up watching this movie. I'm old enough to have seen it in the theater when it came out. And that, of course, is Gene Wilder from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, who also starred in many other amazing movies and was one of the best comedic actors and distinctively funny and beautifully nuanced comedic actor that you could ever see. And he's made an indelible mark in the world of cinema as an actor, as a comedian, as a writer, and as a director. Willy Wonka passed away, or Willy Wonka. Well, he was Willy Wonka. Gene Wilder passed away at the age of 83 yesterday. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And if you want to jump in with your talk or text about Gene Wilder, your favorite movies, your favorite memories about him, we're going to go down memory lane. We're going to pay tribute to Gene Wilder this morning. A true, true giant. There's no question about it. I don't know anybody who has pursued any kind of performing in film, in theater, even on stage, doing comedy, who has not been inspired by Gene Wilder or flat out stole from him. Because, I can't tell you the number of times I've been on stage in a show and I just rip Gene Wilder off. And it's just it's a thing you do because he was a true original. There was no one else like him ever. And a lot of, I got texts and went back and forth and communicated with some of my actor friends who I've worked with at the Factory Theater. And the Factory Theater does comedy. And we've been doing comedy. The Factory Theater's been doing comedy for over 20 years. And everybody who's passed through those doorways in some way or another has been inspired by Gene Wilder or, like I said, just ripped him off. What am I going to do? I'm just going to do Wilder here because it works. I got no other choice. I have no original choice of my own. I'm just going to do Gene Wilder here because it's a guaranteed laugh. It's guaranteed to be brilliant. So he was 83 years old. Read a little bit of his obit here. Comedy great Gene Wilder has died from complications of Alzheimer's disease. His family confirmed on ABC News he was 83. It is with indescribable sadness and blues that with spiritual gratitude for the life lived that I announce the passing of husband, parent, and Universal artist Gene Wilder in his home in Stamford, Connecticut. That's his nephew, Jordan Walker Perlman, said in a statement, "It's almost unbearable for us to contemplate our life without him." Wilder, a two-time Oscar nominee, was most known for classic films such as Willy Wonka and The Chocolate Factory and Blazing Saddles, but has dozens of films to his credit in an over 60-year career. He was born Jerome Silberman in Milwaukee, Wisconsin in 1933. He began his career on TV, where he was featured in the early 60s on shows like The Defenders and TV movies like Death of a Salesman before making himself known in films like 1967's The Producer as Leo Bloom. Willy Wonka came 4 years later in 1971, and it really cemented Wilder as one of the best in the business. Both Blazing Saddles and Young Frankenstein came a few years later, collaborations between Wilder and legendary director Mel Brooks. I also have mentioned this before on the air, but Young Frankenstein and Blazing Saddles, comprehend this. Young Frankenstein, Blazing Saddles came out the same year. It came out in 1974. That's like, what? So like two of the most legendary and two of the greatest comedies in the history of cinema were released within months of each other. Both co-written and directed by Mel Brooks. Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein, both featuring Gene Wilder. And Young Frankenstein, as far as I'm concerned, is Wilder's best performance. That is, I think, by far his best performance. I mean, he's phenomenal, and he was phenomenal in every single thing that he ever did. But Young Frankenstein was on another plateau. It was on like another level. The work that he does in Young Frankenstein is so funny and so original, so nuanced and detailed, and yet insane and completely nuts and over the top. Wilder was a true collaborator and a professional who not only is known for his work with Mel Brooks, but with the late, great Richard Pryor. Starting in the 70s and lasting two decades, the duo made a handful of films that delighted audiences around the globe. Another You, Stir Crazy, See No Evil, Hear No Evil. And, of course, Silver Streak was the first that they ever did together. And it's interesting because, you know, their first collaboration should have been Blazing Saddles. Did you guys, Esmeralda, Vic, did you guys know that originally Richard Pryor was supposed to play Cleavon Little's role?
I didn't know that.
Did not.
And Richard Pryor co-wrote Blazing Saddles. Richard Pryor co-wrote Blazing Saddles, was supposed to play Bart in Blazing Saddles, but Warner Brothers wouldn't insure him. Because at that time, you know, Richard Pryor, I don't know if you guys know this or not, Richard Pryor had a little bit of a troubled life. He had some issues with substance abuse.
What?
He did. If that's a shocker to you, I don't mean to surprise you, but he did a lot of drugs and he did a lot of cocaine. You know, had a lot of troubles and was very, very erratic, especially in the 70s. And so Warner Brothers was like, he can't play the role. So the first movie that Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor would have done would have been Blazing Saddles. That would have been their first movie together. And it ended up being Silver Streak, which was 3 years later. But, yeah, some people don't remember that. Richard Pryor's, you know, and it's funny because a lot of people think when they hear that Richard Pryor was the writer, one of the writers on Blazing Saddles, I think there were, I think five people have credit, including the brilliant Andrew Bergman and Mel Brooks and Rudy DeLuca. And I believe Richard Pryor, those were the guys who were credited for writing Blazing Saddles, which remains my favorite Mel Brooks movie. I think it's the funniest movie Mel Brooks has ever made. But a lot of people, you know, don't realize that he was one of the writers. But the other thing is that when you see that Richard Pryor's name is on the writing credit, you think that he wrote all the racial stuff. Like he, you know, like, because, I mean, if you watch Blazing Saddles, you know, the movie takes on racial stereotypes and bigotry in a way that you can't do now. You could never make that movie now. And it rips apart racism and bigotry by taking it head on and making it completely in your face and outrageous, which is one of the reasons why that movie is so brilliantly funny. But he didn't write that stuff. He wrote all the Mongo stuff. Richard Pryor wrote a few jokes here and there throughout. He wrote a few jokes here and there, polished it a little bit, but all the Mongo stuff, the Alex Kara stuff, you know, Mongo just pawn in Game of Life, that's Richard Pryor. Richard Pryor wrote all the Mongo stuff. So people hear that and go, what? Because they think clearly the racially charged stuff in the movie was brought to the table by Richard Pryor. That's not the case. It's not the case. He loved the Mongo character, so he wrote all the Mongo stuff. Gene Wilder, you know, again, wasn't supposed to be in Blazing Saddles. Gig Young was, in fact, cast in that role, but showed up on set. By this point, a completely irreversible raging alcoholic at this point. He was very sick. He couldn't get through his lines. He had the shakes so bad he couldn't stand up. And Mel Brooks was like, oh, well, this is perfect. Because, if you look at the Waco Kid in Blazing Saddles, you guys have seen Blazing Saddles, obviously. Correct? Esmeralda, you've seen Blazing Saddles?
I have.
Absolutely.
Oh, you haven't? Okay. Vic, you have?
Yes.
So you know the
and
part...
And I did learn that he wrote the Mongo part, which was shocking.
Yeah,
I
mean, Richard Pryor wrote all the Mongo jokes.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. But, like, so you know the character that Gene Wilder plays in it is a one-time quick draw, you know, fastest gun in the West guy who has fallen into alcoholism, has not climbed out of a bottle. Remember he says, look at my hand, and he holds his hand up. He's like, oh, steady as a board. He goes, but this is my shooting hand. And he lifts up the other hand, and it's shaking.
Right.
You know, that's a joke in the movie, but Gig Young was loaded. Like, he was a raging alcoholic. And after the first day of shooting, Mel Brooks is like, wow, he's really taking this seriously. And they're like, no, he's an alcoholic. You hired a guy who can't physically do this role. So he asked Gene Wilder. He went to Gene Wilder, and he said, look, I need you to play this part. And Gene Wilder said, okay, look, here's the deal. I will do Blazing Saddles, okay? I'll do Blazing Saddles, but you have to do Young Frankenstein with me. You have to let me do Young Frankenstein. So they made that deal. So because Gig Young dropped out of Blazing Saddles and Gene Wilder stepped in, that opened up the door for Young Frankenstein, and that is the reason why in 1974 we have two of the greatest American comedy classics ever. Of all time. So, Gene Wilder has passed away, and we're going to listen to some audio, and we'll take your phone calls. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. As we mentioned, Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor worked together on four films. They varied in quality. Silver Streak is pretty good, has some very funny things in it. I would say the best of all of their movies is Stir Crazy, even though that turns into a goofy prison break movie during the final third. It just becomes the laughs just stop, and it becomes a prison break film that involves them breaking out of a rodeo. But there are moments in Stir Crazy that are absolutely classic and absolutely hysterical. See No Evil, Hear No Evil has a few laughs in it. In it, Richard Pryor plays a blind guy, Gene Wilder plays a deaf guy, and you can just imagine the jokes that were scattered throughout that one. Another You is best left forgotten. Another You was they tried to salvage it, but at that point Richard Pryor was very sick. The MS had caught up with him, and the substance abuse had really torn his body apart. And it's really hard to watch Another You. That was released in 1991. It was really, really hard to watch that one because Richard Pryor's body started to really fall apart at that point, and you can see him struggling to get through scenes. So I've only seen Another You once because it's too painful for me to watch, and I didn't particularly think it was very funny. But they had an amazing chemistry together. They worked amazingly well together, especially in Stir Crazy, and especially in Silver Streak. Silver Streak, Richard Pryor's not in a lot of Silver Streak. For long chunks of that movie, it's Gene Wilder and Jill Clayburgh and a Hitchcockian-type mystery that's happening. Once Pryor hits the screen, the whole movie lights up. And when they're together, especially the scene where they put Gene Wilder into blackface, I don't even know what to say. So here's Gene Wilder, who passed away yesterday, which just breaks my heart, briefly talking about the first time he ever worked with Pryor.
I had met Richard the night before, and we hugged each other, and I admire you, and that morning, the next morning, we did this scene at a train station. He said his first line, I said my first line, and then this other line comes out of him. I had no idea where it came from, but I didn't question it. I just responded naturally. I didn't try and think of a clever line, which is the great death trap for actors. If you're improvising, that you say, I'll think of one that's even funnier than that or more clever than that. No, I just said what came naturally in the situation, because that's what I was used to. Then he said a line, I said a line. Then he went back to the script. Then he came away, and everything we did together was like that.
Yeah, and their chemistry together was amazing right out of the gate. Their first scene in Silver Streak, you could see that there was a real special chemistry and that they had a great partnership. And it would go on for three more movies after that. Okay, we got more clips to play. We got interview stuff. We'll hear him talk. We'll hear Mel Brooks talk about his work with Gene Wilder and more. And we'll take your phone calls and your texts at 312-981-7200. The great Gene Wilder has passed away, and we're going to pay full tribute to him this morning.
Trying mighty hard to look like Gary Cooper.
Cooper, Cooper!
That's right. Oh, man. From Young Frankenstein, putting on the Ritz. Yeah, there you go. The late, great Peter Boyle in that scene. That was a scene that he and Mel Brooks fought about. Wilder originally, the original story idea for Young Frankenstein came from Gene Wilder. Oh, by the way, it's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We have to reset here. I forgot to do that. We're talking about Gene Wilder. Gene Wilder passed away yesterday at the age of 83, an absolute legend, one of the greatest comedic performers in the history of anything. And so we're paying tribute to him this morning. And we're going to be listening to some clips and some interviews and all kinds of fun stuff and taking your calls and your texts at 312-981-7200. Anyway, the original idea for Young Frankenstein came from Gene Wilder. It was his baby. brought it to Brooks. They co-wrote it together. And in Wilder's original script, there was not a musical number. There was no putting on the Ritz. But, you know, every single movie that Mel Brooks makes, he's got to have a musical number in there. I mean, he just be if he doesn't do a whole musical, he's got to have at least one or two musical numbers in there. And he wanted to do Putting on the Ritz, and Gene Wilder fought him on it. And I guess the shooting of that scene took forever, and Brooks put him through the paces. And then ultimately, after it was done and he saw the finished product, Gene Wilder was like, yeah, you were right. That's really funny. So, and they had a lot of fights on the set of, you know, disagreements. They didn't have, I'm assuming they didn't have fights or anything, but they had strong creative differences and disagreements about it because, you know, Wilder felt very strongly about the original script, that ideas that he had, and what Mel wanted to add to it, and how he cut the film together was completely different than what the original idea was. So they batted heads a lot, which sometimes ends up making great work, which is the case for that. And then it's, you know, Wilder went on record as saying that that he really was wrong and that he loved the way it turned out. So, and we're gonna hear from Mel Brooks about writing with Gene Wilder, where he expounds upon that a little bit, and that's coming up in a couple of minutes. Here's Harold on WGN. Go ahead, Harold.
Hey, when monsters is loose, boards must be tight.
Yes.
The thing is, when I looked it up on IMDb, when I heard he had passed, because they were talking about Bonnie and Clyde being one of his first things.
Yeah.
I said, well, let me go and look. And I looked, and he had done 5 TV roles, you know, small roles before that. It's just like a one-off. And then one made-for-TV role later on in the 70s. But altogether, those 6 parts plus all his movies, 37 spots on IMDb, not a whole lot, considering the fact that all the great stuff he did. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like it's to have that many great things.
Well, he wasn't active for almost 25 years. He did a TV series in the early 90s that lasted about 10 episodes called Something Wilder. But for a good portion of the past 20-something years, he has not been active. Most of his stuff was in the 70s and into the early 80s. And it was actually right around Gilda's death that he slowed down considerably. To the point where, like, right around 91, 92, if you look at his film career, right around 92 or 91 was the last, like, major role he had in a film. It's 25 years ago.
Yeah, they both did Haunted Honeymoon, and that was her last thing.
Yeah, so.
So like I said, I mean, considering, you know, the fact, you know, because you're thinking, I asked my girlfriend, I says, how many things do you think that Gene Wilder did? You know, movies and TVs and stuff. She says it had to be hundreds. I said 37. So, you know, to have them, you know, to have that many home runs or at least doubles, you know, at only 37 at bats, it's not bad.
No, I know. Yeah, absolutely, you're absolutely right. There was a period in the late 60s into the late 70s, where it was just like almost everything he did was a hit, or at least a moderate hit. He had a few films that he directed himself. He directed a couple of films in the 70s that I thought were hilarious that weren't huge hits, but kept him in the spotlight as a great comedic actor, and includes movies like The World's Greatest Lover and Sherlock Holmes' Smarter Brother and stuff like that. But right around the early 90s, he just kind of dropped out. And he did some interviews that we're gonna play about why he was away from Hollywood for a long time, and why he didn't work for a while, and his thoughts and feelings on that. But before we take a break here, we got the news coming up in just a couple of minutes. By the way, Helena says, so very sad. He was a talented man. Duke says, God, I miss Gene, but his work will live on forever. Mike says, it's sad to think that the main cast of Blazing Saddles has all passed away. And Mike is absolutely right. If you look at the cast of Blazing Saddles, Cleavon Little has passed away. Gene Wilder, Slim Pickens, Harvey Korman, Madeline Kahn, many of these people way before their time. Alex Karras. We just lost David Huddleston like 3 weeks ago. David Huddleston, who has my favorite line in Blazing Saddles, blow it out your ass, Howard, which is the best line in Blazing Saddles. Yeah, if you look at the main cast of Blazing Saddles, almost everybody has passed away, many of them young. Yeah, that's absolutely true, Mike. It's something to look at here. All right, before we take a break, this is one of those classic moments in movies that people quote, that people know by heart, and that a lot of people were posting on their Facebook pages or quoting on social media when they wanted to remember how much they love and love Gene Wilder.
Mr. Wonka?
I am extraordinarily busy, sir.
I just wanted to ask about the chocolate. The lifetime supply of chocolate for Charlie. When does he get it?
He doesn't.
Why not?
Because he broke the rules.
What rules? We didn't see any rules, did we, Charlie?
Wrong, sir. Wrong. Under Section 37B of the contract signed by him, it states quite clearly that all offers shall become null and void if, and you can read it for yourself in this photostatic copy, I, the undersigned, shall forfeit all rights, privileges, and licenses herein and herein contained, etc., etc., fax mentis, incendium gloria calpum, etc., etc., memo bis punitor delicatum. It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. You stole fizzy lifting drinks. You bumped into the ceiling, which now has to be washed and sterilized, so you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
There you go. Good day, sir. How many people quote that all the time? All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. 312-981-7200, talk and text. We're remembering Gene Wilder this morning.
We'll go a glance at a time, a small advance at a time. We'll be afraid a bit and shy a bit, avoid each other's eye a bit less often each day. The ice will soften each day as we get closer and closer and closer. We'll go a blush at a time, a happy flush at a time. Begin
Gene
to
Wilder.
Laugh a bit and stare a bit and walk around on air.
Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. That's Gene Wilder from The Little Prince, which is an interesting, strange, and kind of wonderful film version of the classic story that he starred in and a ton of other people starred in. Stanley Donen directed it. He played the fox in that film, if you can believe that, and he's got that musical number and more. That was the movie, by the way, that he was making right before he went into Young Frankenstein. And I've got some audio here of Mel Brooks talking about his collaboration with Gene Wilder. And in this, if I remember correctly, he does mention the Little Prince, which is the audio that we just played.
Gene had a little apartment at the Bel Air Hotel. Gene was supposed to do the Little Prince. They delayed his role in it for 3 months so that he could work on our picture. And Laddie was very kind, very good.
We're speaking of Alan Ladd Jr., who was in the head of production of 20th Century Fox.
Gene had a little like bungalow and a fireplace, and the only thing he asked for, he was so crazy. Gene is still crazy. But he kept saying to me, the only thing is I would meet him, I'd have dinner at home, and I'd run over, and I'd be there by 7:30 or 8 o'clock, and then when we were writing this, I was editing Blazing Saddles. Anyway, I ran over, and I had to bring a box. Well, I brought a box at the beginning, a big box of Earl Grey tea. He loved Earl Grey tea. And digestive cookies. They're English cookies. I think they make you go. I'm not sure. But, you know, they're a brown, cinnamon-like, crunchy cookie. Mm-hmm. And I had to eat like 4 or 5 a night, you know, to keep him company and drink this focaccia tea
wet.
That kept me up all night. What? What were you saying?
I said to keep your bowels what?
No. I did all right.
I didn't understand you.
No. I think, anyway, digestive. They were called digestives for some reason. You
know. To help your digestion.
Oh, I see. Very good. I never figured that one out. Anyway, so we took our time, and every night we'd write a scene, or we were puzzled. There was only one character that puzzled us in the writing. We knew, you know, Cloris was the easiest one because she was in Rebecca. She was that terrible person who ran the house in the Hitchcock picture. And she was easy. Jean, she was easy only because we knew we had, truly, an incredible actress. And we knew we could just throw her the part and we didn't have to worry about it. You know, that was that, really. Igor was, we didn't know what the hell. he called himself Igor, I'm sorry.
Called him Igor.
You called him Igor. I thought we wrote that in the script.
We did.
Yeah, all right. And then.
I said it.
But you, it's true, she did say it. But anyway, Kenny Mars, Inspector Kemp was a strange. Yeah, he was so great. And on the first day of shooting, I said to Kenny, you remember, you were there. I said to Kenny, when Kenny was shooting, I said, Kenny, your German accent is so good. It's so uber Bavarian. It's so perfect. I don't understand a yourself. Not a word. Not one word. I said, don't be such a great German actor. Just clear it up enough so we know what the hell you're saying. And it was difficult. You know, we'd look at each other. Finally, we got he got it right. But it took a long time, didn't it, Mike? I mean, it took a long time. Solving Kenny Mars was a tough one.
There you go. Working with Gene Wilder, writing Gene Wilder, eating cookies and drinking Earl Grey tea. That sounds like a night. All right. Here's Steve on WGN. Hey, Steve.
Oh, Nick, how are you doing?
All right.
Did you know that Gene had a cameo in the movie Logan's Run, an early 70s sci-fi movie?
I do not remember Gene Wilder in Logan's Run at all.
I'll tell you, one of the Sandmen, I'm sure you remember the plot.
Yeah, no, I remember the movie from 1976.
Okay.
I remember the movie, yeah.
Okay. The Sandman is looking for one of the runaway runners, one of the suspects.
Right.
And he reaches out and grabs one of the citizens. And he asks the citizen, which way did the suspect run? The person he grabbed was Gene Wilder.
Wow. I did not know that.
It lasts for about maybe 5 seconds. Gene has a horrified look on his face.
Wow. Okay. I'm not going to go back and watch all of Logan's Run.
Sure. No, you can find it. You can find the spot.
Okay. I'll definitely look for that. Gene Wilder, 5 second cameo in Logan's Run.
Exactly.
All right. Great. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Bob.
I didn't know that. Again, one of my favorite movie critic quotes ever is Dave Kerr's description of Logan's Run. Dave Kerr, who writes for the New York Times, was here in Chicago, wrote for the Chicago Reader, eventually wrote for the Tribune, and then moved to New York. For my money, the best film critic in the country, and one of my heroes, film critic-wise. He said, Logan's Run takes place in the future, and evidently, according to this movie, the future looks a lot like Woodfield. Because it looks like the Woodfield Mall. And that description always cracks me up. And you can find it at the, you know, they've archived the Chicago Reader has archived a bunch of older reviews, including most of Dave's, and that's like one of the lines that he uses. The future looks a lot like Woodfield Mall. Yeah. All right. You heard Mel Brooks speaking. Mel Brooks tweeted a little bit earlier. Gene Wilder, one of the truly great talents of our time. He blessed every film we did with his magic, and he blessed me with his friendship. That's what Mel Brooks said. Other celebrities, Ruth Buzzy, said, I met Gene Wilder in college at the Pasadena Playhouse. He was a gentleman and a gift to the world, now with Gilda forever. Rest in peace. I did want to mention that, you know, a lot of people are posting on you know, Facebook and on the social media and stuff that, you know, he's with Gilda because, you know, he was married to Gilda Radner for a while before she passed. And now he's with Gilda. He's reunited with Gilda. But, you know, let's not forget that he was married when he passed away and married for 25 years to a woman named Karen Boyer. And yes, you know, there's this wonderful romantic notion of, you know, of him now that he's passed away, he can reunite with his beloved Gilda. But there is a woman that's left behind, a woman that is mourning, you know, the death of this man she spent 25 years with. And so I can't imagine being Karen Boyer and like kind of looking at social media and seeing how finally, you know, everybody's posting, finally he can be reunited with Gilda. And, you know, I mean, she's got to be going through amazing grief right now. And, you know, she spent the years with him. She was with him for 25 years. They've been married since 1991. She was with him for 25 years. She was with him during the years that he fought Alzheimer's, was with him at his side. And now she's just lost, you know, her husband. And to then, like, turn the social media on and see, oh, finally, Gene Wilder can be reunited with Gilda. And I understand romantically, you know, in our heads, you know, they had a wonderful relationship. There's no question about it. And Gilda was taken way, way, way too soon and taken away from him when they were at the height of their love, you know. And I can understand that. But there is a woman out there who just lost her husband of 25 years, and you can't discount that, you know. So I don't know. I felt very weird looking at that. And I'm like, wait a minute. His wife that he married after Gilda passed away is still there and was with him for 25 years and with him while he was struggling through this disease. And, you know, to suddenly just go, oh, he's with Gilda now. I don't know. I was uneasy about that. Although I can understand. I get it. I totally get it. I understand that, you know, the relationship between Gilda Radner and Gene Wilder was incredible and very special and life-changing for both of them. But I just think it's kind of unfair to not at least acknowledge that this woman exists, and she does and has for 25 years spent her life with this guy, and now she's mourning his loss, and it's sad. So anyway, I think Karen Boyer should be mentioned, and you know we should pass along our condolences to her, you know, as well. All right, we're going to take a break, and we got the weather and the traffic here, and we'll come back, and we got more clips to play, more memories to share, more laughs to have, more tweets from celebrities remembering the great Gene Wilder, one of the greatest comedic actors in the history of film. And we lost him yesterday at the age of 83. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. From the producers, of course, Springtime for Hitler. It's an incredibly funny movie. He and Zero Mostel, so hilarious in it. And that was one of the first times people were exposed to just how funny Gene Wilder is. He worked with Zero Mostel, actually, in a film adaptation of Eugene Ionesco's Rhinoceros. So they'd worked together before on Rhinoceros. And it's a really interesting adaptation, by the way, if you're... It's very interesting. I was in a production of Rhinoceros about 13 years ago, and I found the Gene Wilder Zero Mostel version to watch it just to take a look at it, and it's really strange. The play is really strange, but it's really an interesting dynamic between the two of them, and they worked well together. A lot of people don't remember Rhinoceros, that they did Rhinoceros, and then they were also in The Producers. Well, The Producers is one of those laugh out loud great comedies. My favorite line that Gene Wilder has in The Producers is when he falls down, he gets knocked down by Zero Mostel, and he's laying on the ground, and he goes, I fell on my keys. That's my favorite line in the entire movie. And this is part of that whole scene. If you've seen The Producers, then you know the plot. Gene Wilder gets sucked into this plot by Zero Mostel, who wants to produce this giant flop in order to actually con everybody and make money. That's the idea. And everybody knows The Producers. It went on, again, years and years and years later to be made into a massively successful Broadway musical with Matthew Broderick and Nathan Lane. But the original movie is still my favorite. I like the Broadway production. I thought it was funny. And, you know, the music is really good. And, you know, Mel Brooks was creatively involved in every aspect of it. So it wasn't like somebody took it away from Mel Brooks and did this musical thing. It was all Mel Brooks' idea. But I still, the original from 1967, this is the real deal. And here's a phenomenal moment between the two of them.
Will you get a hold of yourself? Don't touch me! Oh, I'm having hysterics. I can't stop when I get like this. I'm wet. I'm hysterical and I'm wet. I'm in pain. And I'm wet. And I'm still hysterical. No, don't hit. It doesn't help. It only increases my sense of danger.
What can I do? You're getting me hysterical.
Go away. You frighten me.
Where's my door?
Sit over there.
Okay. I'm over here. This better.
That's better. But you still look angry.
How's this?
Good. That's good.
Okay. Some of that's visual, obviously. But you get the idea of the kind of stuff that they did together in that movie. The Producers is an absolutely hilarious movie. And I still, my favorite line is, I fell on my keys. I have no idea why that's my favorite line. It's funny. When the Broadway version of The Producers, it previewed here. I mean, the first performances, some of the first performances of that play before it went to Broadway were here in Chicago. And my ex-girlfriend, Helena, used to be a host on Art Beat Chicago, which was a show on Channel 11. And she was one of the correspondents on it. And so she got to interview Matthew Broderick, Nathan Lane, and Mel Brooks. And I told her to ask Matthew Broderick. I was like, hey, listen, Helena, you got to ask Matthew Broderick how he felt about saying one of the greatest lines in cinematic history, I fell on my keys. And so she asked him. I was kind of joking around, but she asked him. And Matthew Broderick said he was intimidated to say that line. So I don't know, maybe because Matthew Broderick was like, yeah, that's a great line. It's one of my favorite lines too. And I was intimidated to say it. So I was like, oh, that turned out to be a pretty good question. I'm not that much of a moron, even though I was saying it in jest. Hey, Helena, ask him about the I fell on my keys line, you know, since no one loves that line but me on the planet. Like, Esmeralda, have you seen The Producers?
I have not.
Okay. If you see The Producers, trust me, that's not going to be the line that you remember the most from the movie. It won't be. Dan, have you seen The Producers?
I have not.
Okay. Trust me, again, when you see it, you won't walk away and go, oh, man, that line, I fell on my keys, that was hilarious. That's not the line you're going to remember. Only me. I'm the only idiot on the planet who's like, yeah, that's the funniest line in the movie, I fell on my keys. Most people are like, I don't even remember that line. But evidently Matthew Broderick did. And Gene Wilder says that line. All right, we got some more stuff here. Let's go back to Blazing Saddles, shall we? As I often do. So the plot of Blazing Saddles involves the governor wants to sabotage this town. And so they send in a black guy to become sheriff, knowing that this insanely racist town will not embrace him. So Cleavon Little plays Bart, the new sheriff in town. And his first day does not go well. He walks through the town and is greeted really, really rudely by a little old woman. I cannot say on the air what she says to him. But he's devastated by what she says. And it's as bad as you can get. Just think of the one word that you can call an African-American and she says it to him. Preceded by up yours. So that's like what she says to him. So he goes back to the to the jail where the Waco kid, played by Gene Wilder, is. And he's obviously devastated by this. He's like, God, it's, these people in this town, they're so horrible. So this is Gene Wilder after Cleavon Little has walked through the town and received that lovely greeting by this 90-year-old white woman. And this is this is him. This is Gene Wilder trying to comfort Cleavon Little.
What did you expect? Welcome, Sonny. Make yourself at home. Marry my daughter. You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. The common clay of the New West. You know. Morons.
That's one of my favorite lines the entire, you know, morons. Oh, that movie is so funny. You guys got to see it. Esmeralda, I'll bring it in. I got it on the Blu-ray. You got to see it. I mean, I'm telling you, it's a legendary, it's a classic movie. Tony says, my fondest movie is Gene Wilder in Young Frankenstein. What an actor and a great man. 331 area code says, his meeting Gilda Radner on Saturday Night Live was a life changer for him. Indeed it was. Indeed it was. And that's a strange and an odd couple. You would never think Gene Wilder, although, you know, they were two of the funniest people that ever lived, so that makes sense. But they just seem to come from such different backgrounds, and age, their age difference was a big thing, too. TJ says, I think one of the better movies that he made always seems to be overlooked is Sherlock Holmes' Smarter Brother. It was very Mel Brooks-like, and it had some great one-liners in it. Yeah, Sherlock Holmes' Smarter Brother, a really overlooked film that he also directed. Jim and Carbondale say, I'm crying right now that Gene Wilder has passed away. Gene and Gilda Radner gave the world a special light and a love to the world. 847 area code says, Gene Wilder did an amazing job acting with his eyes. Magic. Miss you, Gene. Yeah. He was, his face was so expressive and his eyes were just amazing, but no one really played. What, you know, here's one of the tweets that one of the celebrities put out reacting to Gene Wilder's passing. Edgar Wright, the director of the Cornetto trilogy, Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead, World's End, he tweeted, a moment of silence for the master of the comedic pause. That's all he wrote. And that's a great tweet because no one could play a pause quite as well as Gene Wilder. There are a few, Jerry Lewis being one of them, but there are a few, and that's old school. That's an old school thing, to take your time with a laugh, to have the guts to take a pause and to play that pause, like with silence, with no words, and just your face. Not many people could do it as well as Gene Wilder did, and because he had that marvelous, very expressive face. Almost angelic. And the thing about Gene Wilder's face is that he could be sort of angelic and wonderful and beautiful to look at. He could also be terrifying. I mean, the scene where they're going through the tunnel in Willy Wonka is nightmare inducing. It's terrifying. And he always straddled that edge, especially in Willy Wonka. He was like wonderful and charming, and he's going to sing songs. Then he could snap and become terrifying. And that was the edge that Gene Wilder had some of the best comedic performances he gave. That's why I think he's so great in Young Frankenstein. In Young Frankenstein, he's, you know, this sort of like sincere scientist who really wants to preserve life, but is also nuts and also capable of going completely flying over the top at any moment. And that was what was great. Gene Wilder was, you know, like charming and funny and awesome, but there was a real sense of danger in what he did. And that, I think, makes for great comedy. Okay, we got a break. We got the news coming up and then more. We'll remember more Gene Wilder. We got some clips from interviews in the past. We got some clips from a Larry King interview we did in 2002. We also have a clip from an interview that he did at a cultural center in Oregon. And we also have some other movie clips, including my favorite clip and maybe my favorite Gene Wilder scene of all time. And that's all coming up. News is next. Yeah. Morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich at 5 o'clock with the opening bell. And my friend and yours, the great Steve Cochran, at 6. We're going to get a couple of Two for Tuesdays in this morning. We got a couple in, so we're going to get two for Tuesday requests for this morning. And 773 area code requested Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels for Two for Tuesday. Yeah! 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you would like to text us or call us, we are paying tribute to the late, great Gene Wilder. We've been playing some clips, and we've got more audio to play and some interviews from Gene Wilder, a legendary comedic genius who passed away at the age of 83 after a battle with Alzheimer's. He left behind some amazing work, and he was just a giant in the world of comedy and in the world of acting. And it's so sad that, you know, he left behind. But he left behind a lot of great work for us to see. So many people love him, in Willy Wonka, and of course, Young Frankenstein, and the Producers, and all his work with Richard Pryor, like Stir Crazy and Silver Streak, and so many more things. He was a terrific writer. He was a great director. You know, he had a TV series in the early 90s called Something Wilder, which only lasted a small amount of episodes. But we all know that he was married at one point to Gilda Radner, and that they had an incredible special relationship, and they worked creatively together on a couple of films. And she was taken away much too young and much too soon. And he had since remarried. He was married for 25 years to a woman named Karen Boyer, who, you know, people are forgetting, actually, as I mentioned earlier, that she, you know, that she is existing. And are immediately saying, oh, he's reunited with Gilda. But in fact, you know, this woman spent 25 years with Gene Wilder. They were married since 1991, and she was with him during the struggles with Alzheimer's. And she is mourning right now the death of a man she spent 25 years with. So I think she needs to be acknowledged, and we need to, you know, send along our condolences for her loss as well. So we got some more stuff to play. I mentioned Blazing Saddles many times because Blazing Saddles is amazing. And here is a little more audio from Gene Wilder as the Waco Kid, and the great Cleavon Little as Sheriff Bart.
A man drink like that and he don't eat, he is going to die.
When?
What's your name?
Well, my name is Jim, but most people call me Jim.
Okay, Jim, since you are my guest and I am your host, what are your pleasures? What do you like to do?
Well, I don't know. Play chess? Screw?
Well, let's play chess. Checkmate!
What?
Checkmate!
Well, you devious son of a bitch. Happy days.
Man, why you do that to yourself?
Oh, you don't really want to know that.
I do.
Well, if you must pry.
I must.
I don't know if you ever heard of me before, but I used to be called the Waco Kid.
The Waco Kid. He had the fastest hands in the West.
In the world.
Well, if you're the kid, then show me something.
Oh, well, maybe a couple of years ago I could have shown you something, but today, look at that.
Steady as a rock.
Yeah, but I shoot with this hand.
See, I knew you wasn't no Waco Kid. You was just pulling my lariat.
Oh, dearie, dear. Ah, well. Okay. See that, King?
Yeah.
Put your hands on both sides of it. Now, when I say go, you try to grab it first.
Man, that's no contest. You're a mile away.
Yeah. Anyway, When you hear the word go, you just try to grab it. Ready?
Ready. Hey.
You looking for this?
Well, raise my rent. You are the kid.
Was. Yeah, I was the kid.
Well, what happened?
Oh, well, it got so that every pissant prairie punk who thought he could shoot a gun would ride into town to try out the Waco Kid. I must have killed more men than Cecil B. DeMille. Got pretty gritty. I started to hear the word draw in my sleep. Then one day, I was just walking down the street, and I heard a voice behind me say, "Reach for it, mister." I spun around, and there I was, face to face with a 6-year-old kid. Well, I just threw my guns down and walked away. Little bastard shot me in the ass. So I limped to the nearest saloon, crawled inside a whiskey bottle, and I've been there ever since.
Have a drink.
Thanks. Anyway, that's all ancient history.
There you go. The legend of the Waco Kid. Oh, man, Gene Wilder. God, Blazing Saddles. It's so fun. I'm bringing that movie in for you tomorrow, Esmeralda.
Okay.
You have to see it. You have to. It's so good. Some more celebrities. Rob Lowe says Gene Wilder was one of my earliest heroes. Blazing Saddles, Willy Wonka are clinics in comedy acting. Sad to hear about his passing. Jim Carrey says Gene Wilder was one of the funniest and sweetest energies ever to take human form. If there's a heaven, he has a golden ticket. Jason Alexander said Gene Wilder touched my life, my heart, and my funny bone with his unique and genius work. May he rest in peace and joy. I would like to play my favorite clip from Young Frankenstein. This is my favorite clip, one of my favorite comedic moments in movie history, and one of my favorite line deliveries of any comedy ever, ever, ever. All right, this is the scene where Dr. Frankenstein, Frankenstein, is Peter Boyle, the monster, has come to life, Igor and Ilga are down there with him. So that's Terry Garr and Marty Feldman. And Igor starts to strangle. This is kind of physical. So you got this. Igor starts to, Frankenstein monster starts to strangle Gene Wilder. As Gene Wilder's being strangled, he can't talk. So he starts to play charades with them. And this is the scene from Young Frankenstein that is my favorite scene in the entire movie. And the final line. And the pause, again, as we talked about, as I just mentioned before, no one really could take the time and do the pauses in comedy the way that Gene Wilder could do. The pause and then the delivery of the final line of this scene is one of my favorite lines in the history of comedy and one of my favorite deliveries of all time.
Good. Good.
What's the matter? Quick, give him the watch.
Give him the watch. Three syllables. First syllable sounds like
head. Sounds like head. Bed. Said.
Said. Said.
Said. Second syllable. Little bird. This. That. So.
Said.
Said.
Dirty word! He said a dirty word!
Oh, sounds like... to give!
Said, give! Give him a said a give!
Oh, Tim! Tim! Santa, Tim!
On the nosy! Oh.
Is one of the greatest lines in comedy history. Set a give. Oh man, Gene Wilder. We're gonna celebrate some more. Listen to some interview stuff of his and more audio. We'll take your texts and your calls. 312-981-7200. Set a give. Legendary. 312-981-7200. Yeah. Two for Tuesday, yeah. Two for Tuesday. 773 area code requested Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels. I think we need to, Esmeralda, see if this is something that we should do. I think we need to bring back the phrase, sock it to me, baby.
Sure. Do you want to spearhead that?
Yeah, I'll spearhead it. Yeah, absolutely.
Should you... In regular conversation, or
just
do you want
to like
make
you're
it
talking
your
to, like if I have a meeting with DeCastro, just I'm going to go suck it to me, baby.
Yep.
Well, of course, DeCastro wouldn't mind.
That's the
beauty of working for a guy like Jimmy is you could say suck it to me, baby, to him, and he'd go, yeah, all right, man,
yeah,
I will.
You got to do it like at the supermarket.
Yeah, just walk up to the at the checkout.
Of course, yeah, they go and your total is, and then you go
suck it to me, baby.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I think it'll go over gangbusters.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The question is, does he do it at the Jewel his dad works at or a different one?
All of them.
I think it's got to be a different one because they'd probably expect it from someone related to my dad.
Yeah, but if you want to get this thing going.
If I want to get it going, I got to get it going now.
Yeah, you got to do it everywhere.
You know what we got to do? The theme song is going to be... gotta find a woman, gotta find a woman, gotta find a woman by Jimmy Castor.
What I also want is for you to carry around like a little fake door that you would pop out of. A la Laughing.
Oh, a la Laughing. Okay. All right. It'd be much better than having body paint on me. It would be much better than that. So, yeah. If we can find Richard Nixon on.
I'm sure we can find somebody.
No, Richard Nixon on Laughing.
Oh, for real.
Yeah, for real, because he actually said it, and he blew the line.
I thought for a second you wanted a lookalike to hang out
with. Oh, no, yeah. Well, yeah, we can get a...
That goes without saying.
Yeah. Sock it to me, baby.
Yeah. We just want to do a revival of Laughing. Let's do that.
Yeah. Boy, Laughing. Whew.
Sock it to me?
See, he didn't even... What kind of line reading is that?
I wonder, do you think he practiced before
Of
that?
Course he did.
And he thought that was the best way.
Yeah. We're talking about Richard Nixon.
Did he...
He probably taped them all and then, you know, recorded over them. Probably taped all his practice sock-a-tumis, and then there's suddenly about 12 minutes missing.
Well, I could see why he would go that route.
Sock-a-tumi?
Because no one wants to be socked...
Yeah.
So he's probably like, no one's going to demand that.
Yeah,
so
I just
more
think,
of a question.
I personally think he was just way out of his element. That's personally what I think. But Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels were not. They were socking it to me, baby. All right. So we're remembering Gene Wilder, and we just played the Sedative scene from Young Frankenstein, which kills me every single time. It's not as good just listening to it because you got to look at Gene Wilder before he goes Sedative. It's so spectacularly beautiful. So we've talked about his work with Mel Brooks. We talked about Willy Wonka. We've talked about a lot of the great stuff that he's done. We've got more tweets from celebrities who are talking about their memories. But one of the great partnerships he had was with Richard Pryor. And we talked about how Richard Pryor was supposed to be in Blazing Saddles, and the first movie that they ever did together should have been Blazing Saddles, but it wasn't because the studio wouldn't hire, they wouldn't insure Pryor. So that's why Cleavon Little, who, by the way, Cleavon Little is great in Blazing Saddles. But their first movie together was Silver Streak, and they went on to make a movie called Stir Crazy, which I think is the best collaboration between Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor. And they end up going to prison unjustly in the movie. They end up going to prison together unjustly. And there's a scene where Gene Wilder kind of has a meltdown when they're going to prison. And so this is Gene Wilder, the late, great Gene Wilder, and the late, great, the greatest stand-up comedian that ever lived, that ever walked the earth, one of the funniest men, if not the funniest man that ever walked the earth, Richard Pryor in Stir Crazy.
Harry, I don't think I'm going to make it.
Hang on, man. Don't mess up. Just think about our appeal. Skip, please.
Excuse me, sir. Could I please... Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm not a troublemaker.
Skip! Skip!
Okay, no more hitting. Did you hear what I just
Skip.
Said?
Skip!
No more hitting.
Skip!
All right, turn around.
Skip.
You want to stay late tonight?
I said turn around!
Okay, let's get out of here. Come on, Silver!
Skip!
Harry, I'm freaking!
Skip!
Giddy up! So long, suckers! Hey, Harry! He thinks he's a horse! Help me! Harry!
Don't hit him! Please! He's sick! He's having a fit! See, he don't have his foot pills! He's got them! Where's your foot? He's got one! Vietnam, please, man, don't hit him!
Harry! Help me, Harry!
Skip!
Harry!
Skip!
Huh?
Skip!
Huh?
Oh, Skip!
Harry!
Skip! Skip!
Oh,
Skip!
It's okay. It's okay. You did it. You did it.
He's okay now.
I'm okay. I'm okay now. It's out of my system.
You okay?
Yeah.
He's okay.
I'm 100%.
Please, okay? Please, just this once. I mean, it's okay. Lieutenant's okay. Okay. He's okay, see?
Yeah. Yeah, we're okay.
We're okay?
Yeah.
I'm tip-top.
Harry, for God's sake. You're going to get us in trouble. Harry, it's all right.
I can't take it.
Wait a minute. Harry,
Mama.
Here. Come here. Here, Harry.
Mama!
Take your pill. Take your pill. There are 3 seconds. You'll see. It's over. 1,001. 1,002. 1,003. Finished. Finished. What did I tell you? Okay. Let's go. Back to line. Here we go. Thanks very much.
Okay.
Here we go. What's next?
This way.
Right.
Hey.
There you go. That is a scene from Stir Crazy where Gene Wilder freaks out, goes nuts. Then Richard Pryor freaks out, goes nuts. And as we played a little bit earlier, they used to improvise a lot. And you can kind of feel it during a lot of that movie, that a lot of their stuff was improvised. So that was from Stir Crazy with Richard Pryor, one of the four collaborations that Gene Wilder did with Richard Pryor. Donna says, I loved Quacks or Fortune has a cousin in the Bronx. That's a great movie, very early in his career. GB says he was a silent actor in modern times. What a great actor. That's true. One of the most expressive faces that you could have in comedy. Mike says, I know Bill Leff is a huge fan of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. He even quoted it at his wedding. Is that right, Dan?
Yeah, he quoted the last line about, you know, Don't forget what happens to the guy who got everything he ever wanted. And, you know, he said, well, he lived happily ever after. So he was talking.
I got it. That's nice.
Yeah.
Jen Bosworth and Miles in Evanston said Jen's favorite is Bustin' Loose. Gene Wilder's not in Bustin' Loose. And Miles' favorite is Stir Crazy. Bustin' Loose. Jen, it's a Richard Pryor movie. I will give you that. Bustin' Loose is a Richard Pryor movie. Gene Wilder's not in it. The ones that you were thinking of, it's either Silver Streaks, Stir Crazy, now you See No Evil, Hear No Evil, and Another You. So, but Jen Bosworth, but he's not in. But Gene Wilder's not in Bustin' Loose, unless he makes a cameo up, evidently, like he did in Logan's Run, which we found out earlier this morning. Gene Wilder is evidently in Logan's Run. All right, we got to take a break. We've got more celebrities reacting to Gene Wilder's passing, and we've got some great clips from interviews that Gene Wilder did. We're going to hear from the man himself. News is coming up next. If I could build my whole world around you, and then- Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio. And we are on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower. Katie requested Tammy Terrell and Marvin Gaye, "If I Could Build My Whole World Around You," for Two for Tuesday. Yeah! We are celebrating the life and the work and the genius of Gene Wilder. Gene Wilder passed away yesterday at the age of 83. We've been playing clips from some of his movies. We played stuff from Young Frankenstein and Blazing Saddles and The Producers and Stir Crazy. And now we want to hear from the man himself from some interviews. This, the next couple of clips are Gene Wilder speaking with Larry King. And this is about his love for acting, but not so crazy about the show business angle of it.
I'm reminded by our crack staff, you were once the hottest male property in Hollywood, right? You were the highest paid movie actor. You broke box office records. Yeah. You had string of hits.
Yes.
How did you handle all that? How did your ego deal with all that?
Very well. Unlike all the stories you hear about it, I don't mean this to sound... I don't want it to come out funny, but I don't like show business. I love acting in films. I love it.
But you don't
I love like... painting. I like the show, but I don't like the business. And when I go to a restaurant and they're talking 3.6, 9.8, and how many, and what the budget, and everyone is a writer or a director or an actor or a producer, and it just makes me nervous. And Gilda left me this beautiful 1734 house in Connecticut where I live with Karen, and there's no show business there. And there I'm very relaxed. I'm very relaxed with you, but we're talking about art, but we're not talking about the business of show.
There you go. Gene Wilder, man, didn't like show business.
God, who really does?
I don't think a lot of people do. Because, yeah, there's a way, you know, there has to be a way to deal with it, you know, if
I
you're in it.
Yeah, you deal with, and like how anybody else deals with the job.
Yeah. But he dealt with it by just going to Connecticut.
Right. That's yeah, he had that luxury.
He just, I'm going to go to Connecticut, you know, and live my
life. Call
me
when there's a movie.
Yeah. Okay, this is again from a Larry King interview. Same interview. This interview took place in 2002. This is Gene Wilder, everybody. We're celebrating the life and the art of Gene Wilder. And if you missed any of this, we've been doing this since around 3. We started paying tribute to Gene Wilder. It'll be podcast today if you want to check it out. It's been a lot of fun remembering and talking about Gene Wilder. So you can check it all out on WGNRadio.com later this morning. It'll be a podcast. But this is from the Larry King interview again, and he had one condition before he accepted the Willy Wonka role.
Willy Wonka, which is still many people consider their favorite film. How did that come about?
I was offered the part. I had read the book, and Mel Stewart, the director, came to my home in New York. And he said, "You want to do it?" I said, "Well, I'll tell you, I'd like to do it if I can come out and all the crowd quiets down and I'm using a cane. Oh, my God, Willy Wonka is crippled." And I walk slowly, and you can hear a pin drop, and my cane gets stuck in a brick. And I fall over on my face and do a forward somersault and jump up, and they all start to applaud. He said, Mel Stewart said, "What do you want to do that for?" I said, "Because no one will know from that point on whether I'm lying or telling the truth." He said, "Are you saying you won't do the film if you can't do that?" I said, "That's what I'm saying." "Okay, let's do it." And I meant it.
There you go. And it's such a great moment, too.
Yeah.
It really does establish the character almost immediately. And, of course, that was Gene Wilder's idea. Yeah. That's cool, though, man. You know? Because why do you want the director? Why do you want to do that? Nobody's going to know if I'm telling the truth or not. Very cool. Very, very cool. Now, you've seen Willy Wonka.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
I think that's for every child. You have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
The stuff of nightmares.
It is. And I'm in the minority on this. And I love Gene Wilder.
I mean, that boat scene, come on.
It's terrifying.
There's a chicken getting its head cut off. Yeah. I mean, come on.
And just his face.
Yeah, it's pretty direct.
It's very, 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 very scary. I am one of the only people on the planet, perhaps the only person on the planet, that prefers the Tim Burton version.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Look, I like Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory very much. I really do. And it's a big part of my childhood. Like I said, I'm old enough to have seen it in the theater when it came out.
Yeah.
Came out in 1971. I was six. So I remember seeing it in the theater, and it became, you know, part of my childhood. And as I grew up into as a teenager and in my 20s, and, there's a period of time when I was going down to Champaign to hang out with friends who would get high and drunk and put on Willy Wonka. That became a thing. That was a thing. So it is a movie I've seen a million times and a movie that I really, really love. Mm. But I prefer the Tim Burton version.
I see them as two different movies.
Well, yeah, one
completely.
One is true to the book, which is the Tim Burton version, and the other is not, and the other has bad songs in it, like Candyman. So, I don't know. I prefer the new version, and I know that it's people are like, you're out of your mind. People are screaming at their radios right now.
Right.
But I truly think the Tim Burton's version is better. But on a different level and on a sentimental level and in a childhood level, I love the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and Gene Wilder rules in it. Rules in it.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Colin Hanks said, we are the music makers and we are the dreamers of dreams. Thank you, Mr. Wilder. May you rest in peace. Albert Brooks, rest in peace, Gene Wilder, as funny as they come. Harry Connick Jr., so sad to learn of the passing of my good friend Gene Wilder. Such an incredible man. I'll miss you.
His good friend.
Harry Connick Jr. hung out with Gene Wilder?
Did Gene Wilder sing?
Yeah.
At all? Okay, so maybe they
crossed. I mean, he sang in movies, but
he never did anything.
I don't know if he ever released. I mean, I'm sure, he probably did like variety shows or something in the 60s and 70s where
maybe
he sang.
His singing he did private things and that's
No, he had a great voice, a beautiful voice.
That's where they hooked up.
Olivia Wilde says, thanks for stopping by Earth for a while. George Takei, oh my, says he will always be able to make us smile, and that's no small feat. Rest with the stars, Gene Wilder. Carl Reiner, au revoir to a gifted actor whose films I suggest you revisit if you want to be thoroughly entertained. So, and this is from an interview that he did with Y92, a cultural center in Oregon. And this is about his mother's illness and how it started him on a path to comedy.
When I was 7.5 or 8 years old, my mother had a heart attack. This heavyset doctor brought her home, told her some things while she was lying in bed, and then came out to see me. And he grabbed me by the arm. It was summer, a hot day, and the sweat was dripping off of his face and falling onto my cheeks. He said, don't ever get angry with your mother because you might kill her. He was not very psychologically oriented. But the other thing he said was, try to make her laugh. And that was a huge thing, although I didn't realize it at the time. For the first time in my life, I tried consciously to make someone else laugh. I knew I was very successful when she'd run to the bathroom and say, now look what you've made me do. And when you please your mother by doing something, it gives you confidence that you can please other people, and I think that's where the courage to make people laugh came from. But I didn't want to be a comedian. I wanted to be an actor, maybe a comic actor, but an actor. And that's what got me into acting, was putting on an act, because in life I wasn't funny. I felt on stage or in the movies I could do whatever I wanted to. I was free.
There you go. He was one of the best, and most gifted comedic actors ever, and did things, with no words, just his face and his body that no one could touch. He was amazing. Yeah, he was amazing. Orlando Jones tweeted out, rest in peace, Gene Wilder. You will be missed. Say hello to Gilda and Richard for us. And Julie Louis-Dreyfus said, rest in peace, dear, wonderful Gene Wilder. What an influence you were in my life, and thank you for all that joy. And then, as I mentioned before, Edgar Wright, the director of Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and The World's End, says, a moment of silence for the master of the comedic pause. That's a big part of comedy, is being able to just not say anything. There's a scene that's all visual when I was pulling clips for this yesterday. So for the tribute, I was trying to pull some clips that we could play on the air, some of them were visual. They couldn't be played on the air. There's a scene. He's in Bonnie and Clyde. A lot of people don't remember that Gene Wilder was in Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
In fact, he was in Bonnie and Clyde, and that's how he met Gene Hackman. And that's how Gene Hackman ended up doing the cameo as the blind guy in Young Frankenstein.
Okay.
That's how because they had that connection. Gene Hackman was like, hey, that Young Frankenstein movie sounds really funny. You think I could be in it? And so, because they knew each other from Bonnie and Clyde. But there's a moment in the back seat of a car in Bonnie and Clyde when they're all in the back seat of the car and they're all talking. And the girl that Gene Wilder is with, Faye Dunaway turns around and asks, how old are you? To the girl that Gene Wilder is with. And she says, 33. And Gene Wilder's character doesn't know this. And there's no dialogue, but his look, the look on his face, the pause, the double take that he does, not like a wacky double take,
right,
but like he does like a double take, is priceless and genius. And I couldn't play that on the air because I would have to do a play-by-play and tell you how magnificent a take it was that Gene Wilder did. But if you're watching Bonnie and Clyde, and by the way, oh, I want to mention that, Dan, if you can find the schedule on September 29th, on TCM, on the Turner Classic Movie Channel, they're doing a tribute to Gene Wilder. I totally forgot that I did want to mention this. There's like a half-hour special about Gene Wilder, and then they're running a bunch of movies.
Oh, nice.
One of which is Bonnie and Clyde. But, Dan, you can find that out when we take a break. We'll come back. I'll give you that information. We got a few more. We got some texts coming in at 312-981-7200 and a couple of more clips of Gene Wilder, the man himself, speaking. Yeah. All right. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Two for Tuesday. That's our final Two for Tuesday. Katie requested Tammy Terrell and Marvin Gaye for our Tuesday morning. And we are remembering the late, great Gene Wilder, passed away only 83 years old yesterday. I battled with Alzheimer's, and we played back a bunch of clips from some of his classic movies. And we read a bunch of tweets and celebrity reactions to his passing. And we've got more coming up, some clips and some more texts that are coming in. Here's that what I was just mentioning, Turner Classic Movies, TCM, is going to be paying tribute to Gene Wilder on Thursday, September 29th, with the following films and a TCM original production called Role Model, Gene Wilder, from 2008, featuring an intimate conversation with him and Alec Baldwin. So Alec Baldwin interviewing Gene Wilder from 2008. That's called Role Model with Gene Wilder. So the schedule is going to be, again, this will be on Thursday, September 29th, Turner Classic Movies, your TCM channel. On Thursday, September 29th, 8 p.m., Role Model with Gene Wilder, followed by 9:15 screening of Young Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. 11:15, the Role Model with Gene Wilder repeated again. And then 12:30, Start the Revolution Without Me, a great film with him and Donald Sutherland. And at 2:15 a.m., The Frisco Kid, a really underrated and really great film with Gene Wilder and Harrison Ford. And then at 4:30 a.m., Bonnie and Clyde. So, again, that'll be on Thursday, starting on September 29th, Thursday night, September 29th. The Role Model special with Gene Wilder at 8 o'clock. Young Frankenstein, 9:15. Role Model with Gene Wilder, repeated at 11:15. 12:30, Start the Revolution Without Me. 2:15 a.m., The Frisco Kid. 4:30 a.m., Bonnie and Clyde, celebrating the work of Gene Wilder on TCM on September 29th.
That's kind of an interesting choice of movie.
It
right?
is. It's good because they kind of cover, they cover some stuff. And, there's a couple of obscure things in there that not a lot of people...
Right. Yeah, you would think their automatic would be...
Yeah, you'd go to Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein and all that. And Willy Wonka would be the ones that you would
right?
go to
right
away.
Yeah.
815 says, I love Gene Wilder in all of his movies. I was 9 years old when I went to the theater to see Blazing Saddles in the campfire scene. When you're nine, that's the greatest, funniest thing in the world. Yeah, I was nine when the movie came out, 1974. I saw it. I was nine. And made a very big impression on me. Rusty says, I think Haunted Honeymoon with Gene and Gilda is great. That's one of the last, that's the last movie that they worked on together.
I think I've seen bits and pieces.
It's got Dom DeLuise in drag.
Yeah, I think I saw bits and pieces.
Belvedere Bridget said, my sister Sally and I would constantly quote from Silver Streak to each other. Jay in Ohio says, Wilder and Pryor and Silver Streak are my all-time favorite comedy duo on screen. All right. A couple more quick clips here. This is, again, from an interview that he did at Y92, which is a cultural center in Oregon. This is Gene Wilder talking about the guilt that came with his mother's illness and how it impacted his life.
When I was 18 and the hormones were raging and I was at school, University of Iowa, I suddenly felt the overwhelming compulsion to pray. And I must have prayed for 20 minutes or so. I didn't know what I was praying about, but I was feeling guilty about something. The next day or two, it was 30 minutes, and then it was an hour, then 2 hours. To skip ahead to the end of the 7.5 years of analysis, I was so afraid to feel free to enjoy my own life if my mother was sick and suffering every day of hers. And I didn't think I had the right.
Yeah. An amazing backstory from Gene Wilder. And this interview took place after he had been, because he really didn't work a lot after 1991 was the last big film. Funny About Love was the sort of last big studio release that he starred in, and I think he executive produced. And it wasn't very good. At that point, he was just kind of, he did another You with Richard Pryor that same year. Mm-hmm. Then Funny About Love, I think he did another movie. And then in the early 90s, he did a short-lived sitcom called Something Wilder. But then that was it. He pretty much fell off the map. And, you know, he was diagnosed with cancer at one point. And he'd stayed out of the public eye for 20 years. He was out of the public eye for 20 years, pretty much, and wasn't doing anything. And so, you know, this is about why he took so much time away and why he wasn't around.
When I read a script, if it goes off, I say, I've got to do this. But the bell hasn't gone off for a long time because I'm tired of movies that are just based on special effects, on the F word and the your mother F and the effing and the... I'm being very polite, but it's the truth. I haven't read anything that I really wanted to do for so long, and now I find it's much more comforting to sit in my study, write starting at 10:30 or so, come out after an hour and a half, get a quick kiss from my wife, make a cup of tea, go back in, write, come out for lunch, go back till 3:30, 3:45, and then call it a day.
There you go. That's what he was doing for all those years. Still drinking the Earl Grey tea. I wonder if he was eating the digestive cookies. I don't know. So anyway, that's Gene Wilder, and I'm gonna be selfish and play this one more time. I have to play this one more time. This is the sedative scene from Young Frankenstein, because this is one of my favorite things ever in the history of anything.
Good. Good.
What is it? What's the matter? Quick, give him the... Quick, give him the...
Watch, give him the what? Three syllables. First syllable sounds like...
Head. Sounds like head. Bed. Said.
Said.
Said. Second syllable. Little bird. This, that, the.
Said. Dirty word. He said a dirty word.
Well, sounds like. To give.
Said.
Give.
Said. Give. Give him a said a give.
Oh, Tim. Tim. Said a Tim.
On the nosey. Oh. Then a give?
it's the best line reading ever, man. Said a give? Kills me every time I see it. Every single time I see it. So I'm bringing Blazing Saddles in for you.
Okay.
I'm bringing it in tomorrow.
And I will watch it.
It's so incredibly funny. So incredibly funny. Dan, do you have a favorite... do you have a favorite Gene Wilder? Is it Wonka?
Well, yeah, it would be Wonka. I mean... Lady in Red holds a special place in my heart.
Well, he did. You know, Gene Wilder did give us Kelly LeBrock.
Yes.
Did gift us with Kelly LeBrock.
That was a movie that was on HBO quite a bit for some reason when I was a kid, as was Hear No Evil, See No Evil.
Yeah.
So those were my first. So it was Wonka into those two. I had no idea about Blazing Saddles. I had no idea about Young Frankenstein. So that was a nice delight. A little bit later in life, when I'm like, oh, okay,
yeah, oh,
yeah,
yeah. See No Evil, Hear No Evil was on cable every 15 minutes at some point, and I've seen that movie like a million times, and I have massive problems with it. You know, there are things in it that I think are funny, but overall, it's not a very good movie. But I've seen it 900 times. And it's also a very early screen appearance of Kevin Spacey. Kevin Spacey and Joan Severance are the bad guys in it. Joan Severance, hubba in that movie.
Has Kevin Spacey been that same bad guy in other movies?
He did. Well, you know what? They were both on Wise Guy together. Kevin Spacey and Joan Severance. They were on Wise Guy together. I wonder whatever happened to Joan Severance. Man, she was hot. Oh, my God. Joan Severance. Oh, good Lord. But they were together on Wise Guy. And another interesting thing, another sad thing, the director of Silver Streak and the director of See No Evil, Hear No Evil, he died 3 weeks ago, too.
Oh, goodness.
Arthur Hiller. Arthur Hiller passed away, and he directed two of the four, the Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor movies. And he passed away. David Huddleston died not too long ago. All right, let's just not talk anymore. Anyway, rest in peace, Gene Wilder, one of the greatest comedic actors in the history of everything, and has made an impact on a lot of people's lives. All right. Hey, Wild Card Wednesday tomorrow, Esmeralda.
Yeah.
All right. I'll see you then.
I'll see you.
See you tomorrow. We got the news coming up next.